Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to episode 73 of The Nero Show. In today's episode,
Giant have released the new TCR and we go into every little nitty gritty detail.
Did we mention the TCR? Giant have launched the Giant TCR. We're going to talk about it a little bit.
By the way, we also touch on Visma Lisa Bike's new TT helmet.
And Cade Media review the Van Rysel with a 1,000 kilometer ride review. All right, collared shirts, Jesse.
For the occasion. It is Cycling YouTube Christmas. TCR, TCR.
How could they launch the TCR not on a Tuesday?
Oh, well, it is Tuesday.
No, it was midnight. Oh. Well, in the US, yeah? It was Tuesday, but it was like midnight Wednesday GMT. Just bizarre. So even over in Taiwan, where all the boys are, we were wrong. They weren't in the Cotswolds.
No.
They were lapping the hills around Taiwan. Over there, it's a Wednesday as well. So I was shocked by that.
I know, a bit of a missed opportunity to have TCR Tuesday frothings. Funny, that's still going.
Still going.
Hashtag TCR Tuesday.
Not only is the hashtag still going, but the bike is still going.
The bike lives on.
Do you want to talk about this?
I mean, where do we start? I think we're going to have to try and structure this some way. Otherwise, we are just going to be bouncing all over the place. So I think we're just going to have to start with the bike. Mm-hmm. And then so for everyone that's already watched some of the overview videos and gone into that, sorry, but why don't we just repeat the release and the bike and chat through some of the specs. So for those that haven't been sleuthing through YouTube like us, can get an idea of what this updated TCR actually is. Now, we're going to discuss whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, but just looking at it, going through some of the specs, it's the TCR is still the TCR. So they haven't gone and done a full aero makeover of it. They haven't done, that's probably the only thing they would do. Mm-hmm. It's still a TCR, and it's, as you've probably seen from some of the other titles on the YouTube videos, it's a marginal improvement across the board in pretty much every aspect. That's what they're saying. So they're saying lighter. They're saying slight improvement in aerodynamics. They're also saying despite it getting lighter, the stiffness is increased and updated build package too. So new bar, new stem, finally integrated the cables. So gotten them inside the frame out of the wind. New wheel system released as part of the package. Kept the integrated seat post on the top level. And you're pretty much looking at the same bike, just lighter, apparently stiffer and a little bit more aero. In terms of the actual bike.
Well, there's one other thing. There's like the other thing they're trying to push is this, what are they calling it? Cold blade technology or something. So it's a form of how the carbon fiber is layered and built and actually sliced up. It's something that... You know, it's hard for us to sit across the table and get that to move the needle on us. Maybe it's a pretend thing. I don't know. Is it countervail? I'm not sure. But they are continuing to talk about that.
It's an interesting play here, isn't it? The real promoting of the manufacturing process, because a lot of the boys on the press junket tripping around Taiwan, it seems like Giant really want them to. Film the factory.
Yep.
Film the layup.
Yep.
It's sort of they really want people to feel that there's a special sauce in the layup. And it's in I've got the whole TCR launch book here, and there's a lot of pages around the composition, the layup, the manufacturing process.
But that's the kind of stuff we have to plant to one side and go, all right, that's great, but that is something that once you're sitting on a bike, until then, we're going to have to live in this other world, which is percent stiffer, percent faster. What do we see in the geometry, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean the stuff about the layup, I mean, I guess this people probably find it interesting. I'm really more looking at, well, what's the actual bike that someone's going to ride, that pro's going to ride? I mean, the headline about the TCR is the stiffness to weight. That is the TCR. And they call it efficiency, but stiffness to weight. That's what people that are riding a TCR love about it. The funny thing is, it's bloody hard to find how much the thing weighs. I'm digging through their things. You've got the frame's 80 grams lighter, but the hardware's a little heavier to the previous one. And you just, can you just tell me what it weighs? So the only way I could actually find what it weighs was in Bike Radar's video. Warren Rossett, who's over in Taiwan, weighed it complete build. So we know what it weighs in a size large, ready to ride. So the weight, not the frame weight, just the actual weight of the bike, 6.42 without pedals. I like to compare with pedals because if you're weighing your bike at home, it's got pedals on it. With time pedals, it's 6.68 kilos.
Yep.
Now, the Propel without pedals was 6.8 and ready to build the way the pros are riding it, it was 7.1, 7.2 when GCN weighed it.
I don't want to do the Propel thing yet. Let's get to that talking point, because that's, as we've said from the very beginning, it's almost the biggest challenge for this bike in the first place. Right. Let's just try and stay on the TCR for a moment.
Yep.
Can I just quickly mention the geometry?
Sure.
Maybe, because I know there's some people in that sort of world that might go into it. So Mick Cupert, bike fitter here in Sydney, I asked him, he had a good look at the specs on it. Pretty similar to most bike brands, head tube angle, same as Cervelo, setback 73.5 versus 74 for a Trek and that kind of thing. The reach was 4 mil longer, but the stack is about the same. So we're talking still a pretty race-specific geometry, essentially.
Mm-hmm. As you expect. Okay. Because we've got things to dig into. What can we just agree on? It's light. To have it ready to ride with pedals, this is the Vans Decel model, the top second as well. To be 6.68 with pedals is light.
Yep.
That's very light. That's right up there. So cool. The stiffness, I have no doubt this is extremely stiff for that weight. The pedaling stiffness, I'll just say, having ridden a TCR, that's what the TCR is, so I don't doubt that. But let's go into the aerodynamics. The TCR, they tested it they did their aero testing in the wind tunnel, like the same wind tunnel that Tour Magazine uses, but do not compare these numbers with the Tour Magazine's ones, because this is using a full dummy. It's not the same, even though the numbers are similar in range. So compared to the previous generation, the complete bike is 4 watts faster. That includes an adjusted two-piece separate handlebar and stem with the cables internally routed. We know that generally hiding the cables is one, let's say 1.5, 2 watts just from having the cables out of the wind. So you're looking at 2 watts, you know, faster. They did test at 40 kilometers an hour. The Tour Magazine and a lot of the other brands will test at 45, or even I think Cannondale even sometimes have done 48, like weird speeds. They've done theirs at 40, which I kind of like. They've done a sweep across the yaw angle similar to Tour Magazine do, which I think is fair, testing in all those conditions. And a very, you know, you've hidden the cable, so the actual frame is, you know, 2 watts, 40K an hour. I mean, it's enough where you can, I guess you can claim it's more aerodynamic and that makes people feel better. But really, compared to the previous generation, I would not be buying this because I feel like the aero savings are significant.
From the 2021?
From the 2021.
That's about where my brain was thinking. If you're an aerodynamics conscious person, you're probably not going this route anyway. But there is minimal difference between the two from the 2021 edition. There's no two ways about that. But the TCR, maybe this is a bigger chat, but the TCR is not that. And so even in the white paper that we were reading, you go through the testing results that they were talking about. Aerodynamics was the last one in the whole scheme of things that they talked about. All the other things like pedal efficiency and power to weight ratios and all these sort of things were valued higher. And it's not like, I mean, when we first saw this frame, mm-hmm. the first thing we saw was I was like, yeah, it's going to be about the same aerodynamics. I mean, this
and it's
hashtag
about the same.
You can't see aero, yeah. but it's like the drop seat stays are a thing, and that's the reality. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? We'll get into that, but yeah.
So actually on that, so you've said they're the key things that they're talking about. So I'm on the website now. Let's go through them. So system optimization, it's the package. Mm-hmm. So the package is real. So they're saying with the overdrive, wider steerer, with the new stem, with the handlebars and then all this stuff, it's all optimized to be together. That's their number one thing mm-hmm. is the package. Mm-hmm. Take for that what you will. And then secondly is the winning efficiency, the stiffness to weight, which we can't argue with. Third thing they've got here on the website is the aerodynamics, integrated aerodynamics. Now, I did a bit of digging in the photos here because they've posted photos of the wind tunnel testing. Now, they tested the previous generation 2021 to the new model. So the previous generation had the separate bar and stem with the external cables. The new generation also comes with a separate handlebar and stem, just with the cables integrated. But KDEX is Giant's in-house brand, they make a one-piece integrated handlebar and stem. For whatever reason, Giant aren't speccing this on any of the models. But when I dug through all the photos that they provided from their wind tunnel testing, all the ones of the latest model, the dummies on here in the wind tunnel, that is the KDEX one-piece integrated bar and stem. So I looked at this and I went, well, have they tested this with the integrated one-piece bar and stem? And that's where part of the 4 watts is coming from, even though none of the stock builds come with the one-piece bar and stem. I did reach out to Giant and asked, and they
the guy spoke to a Giant,
said that he's been told the spec on the flagship level bike is what was used in the comparative test. So that's what they've said. I'm a bit of a prick. I'm a bit skeptical because I kind of, well, have they run a whole separate test with the integrated bar and stem? And then, okay, fair enough if they were interested to test that, but then why would all the press photos be all with the integrated bar and stem and not of the separate? You may think I'm splitting hairs here, but it's important because if you've only got 4 watts and half of that estimated has come from the save hiding of the cables and you're saying the rest of that's from the frame, but if something slipped between the cracks and for some reason they've tested it with the integrated bar and stem,
no, but hang on. So they came back and said that they guaranteed that it was using the spec, the two-piece spec was what was tested. So you're basing that on press images from the white paper.
Yes.
Correct?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think that's something that's pretty easy to be cleared up if someone from Giant wants to do that down in the comments. But good spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, it's in-house testing anyway. They could have pulled that number out 100%. Of their ass and just taken some photos in the wind tunnel. So it, until the Tool Magazine gets this and tests it, or either independent body tests it, grain of salt around. I'm just saying, you know, I looked through that and I went, well, why is that got the integrated? But, you know.
But this is the in-house testing chat we have every time a bike's launched. It's like the Factor one that I pulled out last time where we had different sets of wheels on different bikes and lines going all over the place showing bits and pieces. It's like, does this actually even mean something?
That's just one piece. I do think they're testing, was it the right speed in a recognized wind tunnel with the sweep of the yaw angles, with the full mannequin, with the moving legs. It was all good. I'm just going, well, I just can't explain why this has this one-piece bar and stem.
Yeah, good spot.
So anyway, say that. Now, I know you didn't want to compare yet with the Propel. I think we'll get into that more, but I just wanted to extrapolate on this aero thing because a lot of people in this bike, which is pretty much looks the same as the other one, these aero claims, people are going to be holding weight to because that's what is potentially going to make someone buy it, especially compared to the bikes within their range. So Tour Magazine has tested the Propel and tested the previous generation of the TCR in the aerodynamics. And this is what I thought would be interesting to compare. So the Propel, Tour Magazine's testing is 209 watts of drag. The previous TCR was 227. But that's at 45K an hour. So Giants say the new TCR is 4 watts faster at 40K an hour. So if we say that 4 watts is then maybe a 7 watt saving when they go to 45K an hour, that's taking the TCR from 227 to 220, perhaps, in Tool Magazine's testing, let's say. It's still a good whack off. Even, I'm sorry, for any aerodynamicist or engineer that just listened to me backyard math that, they're just going to feel sick. But it's even just doing that sort of napkin calculation there, it's still a good 10 watts off the Propel, which is significant up at those speeds. So I think a nice sort of, I guess, 3-4 watts when the bike is lighter anyway and stiffer, sure. But this is not satisfying the aero SL8 do-it-all crowd, is it?
No. But that's the whole debate about this bike. And, yeah, I'm happy to go there now because
okay.
I go in this spiral. No, it's not a spiral. It's a vicious circle from thinking, why the fuck does this bike exist in comparison to, let's say, the Propel and the Defy? To me, you have covered both those bases. The basis of what I thought the riding public was, which was race-orientated aero nerds and Bondo endurance crowd, you've covered that base absolutely perfectly with those two bikes. So why does this TCR exist? And then I flip around and go, thank God the TCR exists.
Yep.
Because it's light, it gives you the... It gives you that immediate impact of power that you would get from a light, stiff as hell bike.
Having ridden the old one, it does.
As soon as you put power down, it goes, doesn't have drop seat stays because that's some modern crap that you don't want to be a part of. But yes, I've still got my disc brakes and now I've even got integrated bar and stem, so I am sort of slowly making my route towards that. Thank God this bike exists. And honestly, I sit here an hour to hour and I go through those two parts. I will say this, like we talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember how many weeks ago, and I was there thinking, why don't they just ditch it? You know, why ditch this bike? Well, I can tell you why not, because it's the biggest selling Giant bike, the biggest model that they have in their range, outsells everything else, almost 2-1.
Yeah. Yep.
So the market for this bike is fantastic, which means maybe this in my little circle there, maybe it's second Chris that's more in keeping with it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though, that you're making that comparison there between, well, why does this, is this, and that? And I think that's a logical question. You're going to buy a bike, you like the price point of the Giants, your local store's a Giant, and maybe you're a club rider, do some fast club rides. You know, the logical question is, which one am I going to get?
Mm-hmm.
But in the Giant's huge launch kit for the TCR, you search Propel, there isn't a single result.
Mm.
It is almost as if they silo off their engineers and all the product managers, and you're a Propel, you're an aero bike, you're a stiffness to weight, you're an endurance bike. And they just continue to try and make the best bike in each category. Even though as a consumer, that's not how you buy a bike. You generally are picking between the models from the same brand. So I find it really interesting that they don't even discuss at all the comparisons between the two.
So that's not rare. I did have a little look around this. Cervelo, if you look at the Cervelo S5 launch stuff, there's no mention of how it compares to an R5. It's like they don't exist. It's comparing itself to an Aeroad. It's comparing itself to a System 6. I imagine that's just another one of the challenges that a brand has when it has multiple bikes that are trying to cover different disciplines. I mean, they probably look at Specialized and go, oh, my God, that'd be so much easier.
But look, Specialized is a perfect example of the opposite. Mm. It's just every time they release a bike, it needs to eat the previous one.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
You have SL6. Venge, super fast. SL7, can we try and match the Venge? SL8, can we be lighter than the SL7 and beat the old Venge? It's just every year they try and eat themselves.
Mm.
And this is just from a branding and product point of view, is just entirely entirely opposite. Yep. I mean, I have respect for it because.
So where are you? Are you on the why does it exist or thank God for the TCR?
So I have respect for them holding the three. It costs them way more money to hold a separate bike. So I enjoy that from a consumer level. To have an extra choice of a bike is awesome. But from a pro, you're a Jayco Alula rider. You've been told aero is everything for the last 5 years. Your bike ready to race is 7.18 kilos, which is roughly what the propeller is at a race weight. It's 209 watts in Tour Magazine's testing. The new TCR's probably 10 watts slower. I mean, it has to be a bloody hilly, very hilly stage before, according to what we've all been told, you would choose to ride the TCR.
Mm.
What's the new TCR got going for it over the Propel from even a racing point of view? It's got more tyre clearance. Propel's got 30s. This can fit up to 33s. So cool. That's a big thing. Comfort. It's more compliant from a comfort point of view, the TCR. You know, you're already running. If you can run, you're running 30s. Okay. Maybe that makes a difference. You know, for a pro, probably don't really care.
Potentially, when Remco steps out halfway up a climb and Yates needs to jump across to him, is it that little bit snappier to go across? And then you're not going to pull a turn with Remco anyway, so why not just snap over there and sit on him?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a circumstance for Yates to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the Escape Collective, one of their previews, they were interviewing this guy from he's the racing technology development senior manager, Andy Wolny. And he says, the frame is a little bit lighter. It's not much, but it still matters for the pros. The Propel is better for speed, but to get up to speed, the TCR is nicer. We did a lot of efforts on the current Propel to make it more compliant than the previous generation, but you can get more compliance out of the TCR. Final thing he says. In other words, although aerodynamics remains the most important metric in terms of how efficiently a bike moves through the air, when it comes down to choosing bikes to use in competition, for some riders, it basically still boils down to how the thing feels when you give it the beans. As one person at Giant put it to me, what pro riders ultimately can be boiled down to simply as it goes, I go. I mean,
that doesn't surprise me. A pro says that
doesn't surprise me at all that a pro would go, oh, I prefer running TCR because when I stand up to surge out of the saddle, it feels amazing. But shouldn't the pro team be riding a bike which they have determined is the fastest for that given stage or purpose? It's funny that we have this sort of R&D shoved down our throat, and then the riders is going, actually, no, I want to ride the TCR because it's snappier.
Which is interesting because we did have a quick chat to Giant during the week, and you asked that question. Why? When are they going to run it? And the reply was something along the lines of, well, when it boils down to it, we don't design bikes for pros, we design it for people to ride. Which is awesome, I will say. You wouldn't hear a Cervelo person say that. I don't think that wouldn't be in their talking points. But fair play. All right. So what does that mean for the pro team? Where they ride it? I just can't answer that question.
If I was on Jayco, I'd be planted on that Propel and you wouldn't get me off it unless I was doing maybe Paris-Roubaix and I wanted to run 32s.
Right, let's just pause for a moment to have a quick chat about sports micronutrition company, Pillar Performance. Traditional nutrition products like hydration and carbohydrates and sugar will get you through to the finish line, whereas Pillar's mission is to get you to the start line in the best condition over and over.
In this episode, Pillar wants to bring awareness to the benefits that magnesium supplementation can have for you as a cyclist, particularly as it relates to your sleep and recovery. So do you have trouble getting to sleep each night, or do you suffer from reduced sleep quality, particularly after your biggest training days? If so, magnesium supplementation can help improve all areas of your sleep by regulating melatonin production and reducing cramps that interrupt your sleep quality. Pillar's triple magnesium is a 300 milligram blend of absorbable forms of magnesium that tastes great and is informed sports batch tested to be free from banned ingredients.
If you'd like to try Pillar today, get 15% off by using code Nero at pillarperformance.shop, or for North American listeners, head to thefeed.com/pillar and enter the code Nero for 15% off. Can I have a quick chat about the wheels? These KDEX Max 40s.
The hookless KDEX Max 40s?
The hookless KDEX Max 40s.
That's the elephant in the room as far as I'm concerned.
It is. The only thing I will say about it, yeah, whatever, we've said the hookless stuff.
Bugger that. There's no that. Of all the stuff on this release, this is probably the hookless wheels is the biggest thing that puts me off.
Mm.
You're going through, oh, the prices is good. Oh, you know, good specs, you know. And then you're going, oh, freaking the wheels are hookless.
Mm.
I can't, it's a strike against it. Just, I want hooked wheels and they've specced it without. And yeah, the price is good, but you've then got these wheels that you have to certify your bloody tires against. It limits your tire choice. You have to run specific tire pressure. I don't like hookless and that's a strike against this.
So where I was going with that was there's a 22 point something mil rim internal, which didn't bother me too much. At least the slightly narrower forced you to run a tire that was a little bit more suitable, and it's being specced with the giant tires. There's no data on those yet, but I think this is maybe in a comment to where this goes in the future. This has to be the only out clause, I would have thought, for hookless going forward is tailor-made tires. This is the tire that you have to run, essentially. The other thing on them, I was surprised. So this is their big launch of a wheel to go with it. I'm surprised it's only a 40 mil deep wheel. And from what I gather, they're both 40. They're exactly the same rim. They're exactly the same rim depth, front and rear, which is a little bit out of sync with what's been going on everywhere else. And essentially, by the looks of it, almost like a lightweight sort of spoke configuration that sort of runs into the hub.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, somewhat narrow, hookless new wheels, you know, a flop as far as I'm concerned. But we'll get to the pricing, but then, you know, the catch-all is the price.
Yes.
So, yeah. well, let's go on to the price then. So, I mean, this... Actually, just one other feature I want to chat about, the integrated seat post that comes on the top level frame. Very polarizing. Oh, it's crap or unnecessary. It's hard to travel with. I have an ISP bike. I way prefer the integrated seat post. If I could get it in both, I would choose the ISP again. I guess it's harder to fit in a travel bag if you have a really big frame, potentially. The resale value is harder, and it's a bit annoying when you initially set it up. You never have to worry, though, about your seat post slipping.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a bit lighter, so that helps them get that really impressive weight. And they say it's more compliant. Not sure. Oh, but and it's more aero by, you know, 0.8 of a watt, sure. I just think I never worry. It's just like it's at the right height. It just works. So I'm a big integrated seat post fan. As polarized as it is, I think that's points in the tick column for the top level frame. I really like it.
Before we go to the price, the only thing I also wanted to say is that frame is an iconic silhouette. And I'm glad they kept that. That sloping top tube, the integrated, the ISP seat post, I think that is worth maintaining, if that makes sense. Yeah. Let's talk about this price.
Yeah. So the top level bike with Dura-Ace, unfortunately, still Dura-Ace power meter. But it comes with a power meter, unfortunately, with hookless wheels, but everything else is pretty spot on. Australian dollars, $13,799. Now, the top level Canyon direct to consumer, probably the next best value bike you're possibly going to get, their climbing bike, the ultimate CFR, $15,000.
Amazing. $99. I'm sorry, that is amazing. To beat the direct to consumer. Is just phenomenal.
They've undercut them by more than $1,000 Australian. Unbelievable. The Factor 02 van, the new one, also has the integrated seat post. I mean, $18,790. No, you're getting, they just absolutely smoked them. Yeah. You cannot argue with the price. The price, it is nuts. I mean, I don't know how. How they come up so far. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but there's a lot of, they're so far under everyone else. It's incredible. The version I'm liking most from my point of view is the one with Ultegra. So it's got the Giant's power meter, so not the Shimano one. It's got not the new Max 40, but it's the other Giant wheels. The top level frame with integrated seat post. So $9,500. That'll very likely still be under 7 kilos. That's probably the one I'd be looking at. Separate bar and stem. I think that's a pretty good one too. Now,
it's really part of the TCR, the price. Mm-hmm. You know how I asked you that the other week about what it is about the TCR that gets people having tattoos about the thing? It, you know, the stiffness to weight, that's all a thing. There's a ride thing. But there's also this, hey, my bike costs 30% less than your high-performing piece of shit and I'm sticking it to you. Do you know, there is something about that that I think people get around. It's like we're sticking it to the big guys. Giant is the biggest guy. But
it is
In terms of price.
And this is a bike where they're also supporting two other main road models. They're not just condensing it down into one.
Can we get onto the content that we've seen thus far on it on YouTube?
No. Okay, the first thing, and this is where I just think it annoyed me. So I've watched two other. It's we're only a couple of hours after Lisa, so we're really hot on.
Can we
here.
Call this an emergency?
It's an emergency emergency situation. So I've watched Dave Arthur and Bike Radar's video. Neither of them mentioned the hookless wheels. They didn't even, the word hookless, as far as I can remember, didn't even come up. It wasn't mentioned as a thing in the video. This is where I started to get a little pissed off because Bike Radar did an article a week ago, same thing that we chatted about the Thomas de Gent hookless wheels, and it's a wake-up call for it should be a wake-up call for the cycling industry and the potential dangers and all that. So they'll discuss that as its own issue. Then the bike comes out that has hookless wheels, which apparently are potentially dangerous, and they don't mention it once in their review video. That's where the shill tag comes in because I don't think you're not balanced in your review of the bike if you've just ignored the thing that you were ranting about a week ago. So that stood out to me.
Yeah, but old mate just read this. Like, I'm sorry. That was a waste of 7 minutes of my life. I don't want to go too hard, but like we have the white paper thing from Giant, much appreciated. He literally read it, but he did worse than that. He read it with this sarcastic kind of taking the piss out of Giant's claims with the tone that he was using, like, oh, it's 4% faster or 4 watts faster and all this sort of stuff. But he didn't elaborate on any of it, just stuck to the script that was the actual white paper, but used this too cool for school sarcastic tone the whole way. Fed up with that. Just get straight out to Warren Rossiter, who's out there. If you are going to go and watch this video, just scroll to the last 2 minutes of it where Warren Rossiter gives him a breakdown of how the bike rides. That's all you need to do. That's all I ever want to hear from them moving forward.
Okay.
Sorry.
And Warren actually weighed the bike. That's why we know what the full bike weighs.
Because he's a bloody good reviewer.
Yeah. So that was that was good in that. Now, Dave Arthur.
Jeez, Dave was sweaty over there.
it's a bit cold in the Cotswolds. He's not quite used to
that.
He
wasn't used to that humidity.
He's still the first one I watched.
Still one.
I always click his first.
That's because it had an arrow.
It had
the white arrow.
So also no mention of hookless, which I said that. So he also is talking about that he's disappointed it didn't have a one-piece bar and stem because most of the top bikes now are coming with the integrated one-piece bar and stem. But also he did also mention, well, it does make it easier to adjust the size and stuff. Where are you on this? It doesn't have an integrated handlebar stem. Cool or lame?
Again, it's a flip-flopper for me. But for the TCR and the TCR crowd, I'm not going to go as hard at it and say that, yeah, two pieces, okay. I would personally have much preferred to see it But I have to think outside that and probably think, who are the TCR crowd? They probably want two-piece, would be where my brain is at. My takeaway from Dave's review, actually, he mentioned stiff and stiffness. Play a drinking game, you will be wasted halfway through. And a lot of it, I reckon, comes down, and he mentioned this, to those wheels. He was just saying, wow, these are stiff. I can't wait to, well, I may not be able to ride them around the Cotswolds. And he was fair. He was saying, look, I'm riding on pure, perfect tarmac here. It's all happy days.
Yep.
Get these bouncing around in the Cotswolds and it might be a different story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Now, the bike raider had an interesting segment here. So I'm halfway, so 8 minutes into this bike raider video, they did an article, Simon, one of their writers, did an article before the TCR came out about what he wants to see out of the TCR. And then they were sort of in the review video referring back to his and saying, well, what did they change that they requested and what did they avoid? So I just disagreed with a few of them as well. So first one, he asked for better aerodynamics and then they've gone tick, it's more aero. I mean.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, technically it saved watts, but to sort of give this a more aero tick, I don't think that, in my opinion, the changes aerodynamically aren't significant enough where someone that cares about aerodynamics would give this a tick.
But this is a pretend list because later on down in this thing, he doesn't want, anyway, I'll let you go.
Yeah.
I'll let you go.
So I disagree. So they kind of gave it the aero tick of approval. It's barely more aero. They hid the cables.
Mm.
More progressive rim designs. They gave that a tick.
I think that's a covert way of saying don't put hookless rims on.
But based on what? What's more progressive? You've got a relatively still narrow for modern profile hookless rim. I mean.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, it's lighter and the, you know, they've done the carbon hubs and spokes and, you know, that's cool. To give this like a real, it's a modern rim. It's not.
No.
So they gave that a tick, so it's not. Space for wider tires. Yeah, definitely. So Simon, the next one they've put is Simon didn't want integrated cable routing. And
He wanted it more aerodynamic, Jesse.
So he wanted it more aero and they gave it a tick, but he didn't want integrated cables, but they did that. I'm with him there. I'd say fair enough if you don't want the integrated cables because it's easy to maintain. Cool. But yeah, I'll agree with that one. He wanted them to keep the press fit bottom bracket, which they did and not move to a threaded. I also agree with that. I have the press fit on my current one and there's no issues. I never even think about it. So the move back to threaded, the press fit seems to work. He wanted the end of the integrated seat post on top level frame. I disagree with that. I think the integrated seat post is good and they've kept it. So I've given them ticks there. So I guess this is all, to be fair, it is personal opinion. But the first two, to give them a tick for better aerodynamics and more progressive rim design, that's the two biggest things. And that they haven't done either, and yet they're getting a tick for those two. I really disagree with that part of the bike raider video. What's your top level take on the new Giant TCR?
I was very blasé about the TCR in general in the past. It's never been a bike that's particularly excited me for one reason or another. But I think the more I look into this and I look at what is out there, I like the bike. I do like the bike. The thing that fascinates me the most, and you've experienced it, is the TCR ride feel, the ride quality. This bike has to exist for a reason. And more than just a really good price point, more than just a nice aesthetic, clean-looking frame, it has to exist for a reason that is that people get around the way this rides. And so I'm glad it exists from that perspective, but I would ultimately have to hold off on my overall opinion just because I don't know how it rides yet.
Okay.
What about you?
I have a lot of respect for the release. I think they've got a platform which works, stiffness to weight. They've improved it in almost every aspect. So credit for that. I think there are still parts of it which I would like to see changed. Unfortunately, it is a boring release. I don't think it's going to get that many people excited. But for the people that would suit what the TCR can do, your club riders, your people that love climbing, that love getting out of the saddle, doing all their surges, like to run some wider tires, have that racy feel, the TCR will be a really good bike for them. Unfortunately, just the nature of this bike in 2024, it's just not going to get the hype.
Do you think it'll sell well? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's not a good question. I was just thinking about if I could change one thing on this bike and this release, it would be a set of 40 to 50 mil deep, non-hookless, 24 mil rim internal wheels. I like everything else about this bike.
Yep.
That'd be it. And I do think it's a bike that I would recommend a lot of people buy. I'm going to get DMs about this. Oh, maybe? You challenge me on that? Maybe we go into that a bit later. So this is just out of interest. This is a massive equipment episode. We're going to be talking. Forget about anything else. This is full equipment chat.
You're going to have to get your gravel bikes out and go bikepacking to get through this. Because then we've got, well, who's buying this? Because this is the other part I do when a bike gets released. I kind of run through riders I coach or riders I know or even you, Chris, and I go, if you were buying a Giant and asked for what I thought you should get, who would I recommend this to? So if it was you asking, Propel. You do too many crits. You're too fit. I think the Propel is more suited to you. Now, the hard part about any of this is you've got what you genuinely think would be best for the riding you do, and then you've got people that will just buy the Propel because they like the look of an aero frame anyway. So we'll try and keep it more for that. Then you've got someone who's doing club rides. Maybe they do a Grand Fondo twice a year. They're going and doing Barrel Classic. So they want a light bike. They want to fit their wider tires. The Defy is light enough where if they're doing a nice build and they're getting that down between sort of 7 to 7.2 anyway, they can fit up to 35 mil tires, even though you're probably not going to go more than 32 anyway, but it's a little bit more compliant. The position's most likely, the geometry of the frame is most likely to get them in a nicer position while being able to slam the stem and have it look like a good setup. So for a lot of those people with the Defy right now, they're probably going to be going Defy. If they didn't do Grand Fondos, if it was a pure club run, weekend warrior, all I really do is just sit in the bunch, roll some turns, sprint up a few climbs, I think probably then you'll go TCR if you're not doing the long distance stuff.
I was thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's for Lantern Rouge and Benji. This is their bike.
Yep.
This is their bike.
Yep.
They're not doing long Grand Fondo things.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do a few, they're training a bit, but ultimately punching up a couple of little climbs, getting that sensation of power when you put it down. Like to me, that's those guys. A Defy is not doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's those boys.
Okay. But then if Lantern Rouge keeps training and he gets closer to the 5 watts per kilo mark, What was the laugh? you know,
I
if he's
just
up
watched
at,
his recent vlog. He's not getting a 5.5 anytime soon.
Let's say his FTP gets up to 4.5 watts per kilo, and he's doing some nice 4 or 5% climbs, and he's sitting at 21-22 k an hour. You know, then you're probably going Propel. So that's that crossover is there. But yeah, okay, that's I hadn't thought of them. That's probably good,
because this brings up the whole question of actually what's the competition for this bike. And I asked Giant that exact question,
mm-hmm.
and it's a really difficult answer. I'm not talking about inside the Giant range. I'm talking a different sort of brand, right? And mm-hmm. so your competition is a Scott Addict potentially. It's, from there you start going into price different stratospheres. You go into the Colnago V4 RS.
Trekkamonda.
Potentially, you know, you could argue the SL8, but then you've always got this thing coming back. Well, it's going to be $10,000 less potentially than an S-Works. So, yeah.
I do think with this new release though, geez, even if you can compare it to Lobo, this is significantly lighter. Which pro rider would you put on this from any team? There's one. Who is the TCR Pro?
You got one?
I've got one. Yeah.
You go for it.
Julian Alaphilippe. To me, his riding style, everything he does, having ridden the older TCR, I feel like he would really enjoy the what the TCR is intended to do.
Interesting. Yeah, I was thinking like Mike Woods. That was where my brain was going.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be really interested to see. I mean, I had a little scan around Dave Arthur's comments. They were pretty negative, but negative for lots of different reasons, like classic YouTube. But, you know, oh, how dare they integrate the cables? That's the best thing about the TCR. Or, oh, my God, it's boring. It looks like it's from 1908. Like, what are you doing? It's such an old bike. I don't know, and I think that's...
No rim brake option.
Yeah, no rim brake option. That was another one in there. It's like, okay. So I think that's what we've tried to go through, all that sort of stuff here today, but obviously would love to hear everyone's thoughts.
Hmm.
So I'm going to jump into a subscriber question, Jesse, if mm-hmm. that's all right with you.
Let's go.
Hey, Chris and Jesse. I'm a big fan of the show. My name is Ryan, and I have a question for Chris. I was wondering how you like the S5 as a bike. Someone looking at possibly getting one. All the videos online just seem to tell me what the Cervelo says on their website. I know in a previous episode you talked to Edwin from Cash, and he said he felt like the S5 needed to wind up to speed. Do you feel you go through this wind up while riding?
So I had a back and forth with Ryan, and like his biggest part of his question was like, is it up to the hype? Because hell, there's a lot of hype about this bike. And I sort of felt like I needed to split that in two, even though it's really hard to. Mm-hmm. So the pro side of the froth of this bike, I do think is pretend. Cervelo have done an amazing job like affiliating themselves with this team and like supporting them all the ways they are. But I honestly do believe that that team would win a hell of a lot of races on an aero-road. I just do. It's amazing marketing for them, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd win a lot of races on an aero-road. At a local, as a me, local, what are we going to say? Elite local racer level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's potentially up to the hype. Okay?
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to steal a bit of a Dave Arthur comment on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to say, why would you race on anything else?
Okay.
For me, all right? So it's a bike that is arguably not slower than anything else around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's potentially faster than a lot of other things around.
Okay. Okay?
And so it's just yep. a general kind of rule. That would be about where I'm at with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the pure speed thing, that's not up for debate as far as I'm concerned. He as Jesse logs onto Tour Magazine and
no,
potentially gets ready to throw some numbers at me. But the getting it up to speed thing, all right? And I've said this to Edwin. In fact, I was in there on Monday. I totally disagree with him on that. And I almost got him to admit this as well. So what this bike is really good at is in a race circumstance or a fast pace group ride circumstance, I think it maybe is potentially a little bit due to the shorter wheelbase of this bike. But so you do have the ability to have speed with it. But because of the shorter wheelbase, it almost tricks your brain into thinking you've still got that new bike feel. Because if you get out of the saddle, that shorter wheelbase gives you that little snap that you get the first time you get on a bike. And that's really helpful for someone like me with my power profile. And I'm not talking about accelerating from 15 kilometers an hour to 50. I'm talking about accelerating from 45 to 60 for a little bit. That kind of acceleration. And I think this bike does that better than any other bike I've ridden.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The downside's the weight. All right. So two by, deep wheels on it, it's close to 8 kilos. All right. So we want to go down the rabbit hole of where that 8 kilos starts to feel like 8 kilos on a climb. It's not going to feel like a TCR up a climb. That's a reality.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would love this bike to weigh 6.8 kilos, but it doesn't weigh 6.8 kilos. So this is almost why this show exists, because we're talking about the different pros and cons of all these different things. So would you say up until now, that's a pretty positive rep sheet, would you say? If you were just listening to Chris talk about the S5 and you just listened to that little piece there, would you say that was pretty positive?
Very positive.
Okay. So I want to finish. Let me finish with this.
Okay.
The ride quality is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is coming from someone who's running 50, 55 PSI, 30 mil rear, 28 mils that blow out to 30 on the front. Okay. And it's not where you think. So this sort of bike soaks up that rough chip and seal stuff that we're used to pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But where this bashes you, I'm trying to think of a really good example of where this happens. It's not a perfect example, but you know, like when you're riding across the Harbour Bridge and there's those splits mm-hmm. in the bike lane
yep.
and it's like a different level, you like go up a level, you get whacked in through your shoulders and down through your back in this bike. And I do think a lot of the ride feel of this bike, the challenges of it comes through the front end of it, whether it's the handlebar, I don't know. I don't know the engineering of it, the fork, whatever, but you really do find that. And it's one of the hesitations I have about riding this bike at Three Peaks this weekend,
mm-hmm.
7-hour, 8-hour day on this bike, how I will ultimately feel at it. It's a total fish out of water for that particular circumstance. Everything else about this bike, I'm happy to do. The weight thing doesn't bother me because I think it's fast. I'm fine on it. But I know that that's going to be a real challenge, just feelings-wise towards the back end of this. And it's something that I do think the Aero did better. Whether the handlebars, the front fork, whatever it is, I definitely didn't feel as battered at the front end of this bike. Now,
mm-hmm.
you have to like kill me to drag the S5 off me, because I do legitimately think it's faster. So that's the
okay.
The yin and the yang of where I'm at with this bike.
I think what you've said is totally fair. The only, I guess, if we were kind of having a chat about the bike, because I don't own any of those bikes and I'm not comparing one to the other, I look at everything you just said and I just go, yeah, but you could probably get all of that out of the Propel Advanced Pro with Ultegra Di2 for $7,999. And save $5,000.
And
that's what I
But
just,
I wasn't asked that question.
I know you weren't asked that question. And that's what almost bugs me about the question is, someone, how does the Cervelo S5 ride? Oh, it's like, it's really fast. But that's, I just, those discussions is almost, you know, they're interesting to have, but like, you know, that I wouldn't recommend someone buy one, because I think you could get pretty much most of the way there for a lot less with other brands. That's where I just, bike discussions are just such a rabbit hole.
No, you're right. Can I go, I want to go a little step further on it. I feel like this is like something I see that's like crimes against aero bikes. And if you do this, don't get an aero bike. All right. Get a TCR.
Okay.
If you ride over lumpy terrain, you're riding out to Brooklyn and you know those long rollers. Okay. And the way we ride, Jesse, if we're riding out, whatever, we ride at 230, 240 watts up the riser. We crest over the riser. We ride down the other side of it. We're still riding, pedaling at 230, 240 watts. When you crest over the riser and you start pedaling at 250 watts on the way down, holy shit, the aero bike, the S5, feels like a rocket ship. It's amazing. It's the reason I ride bikes, is that particular feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so many people I see riding bikes surge at 380 watts up that roller, right up at full gas, drop half their mates. It's a fucking shit show behind them. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm swearing so much, sorry. And then we get to the top of the crest, everyone looks back, oh, where's everyone? we'll meet up. And this isn't a climb, it's a friggin' riser.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sort of freewheel, then freewheel down the first part of the descent, and you sort of then start pedaling a little bit further. And meanwhile, Chris comes past you at four times your speed. And you go, oh my God, he's riding so fast. He's like, no, I'm riding at half the power you were less than 30 seconds ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you ride like Chris in that particular circumstance, then definitely I reckon S5 would be fantastic for you. If you're the other guy, nothing wrong with that person. You're probably getting as much enjoyment out of riding a bike as anyone else. Don't buy an S5, get a TCR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So consideration for you, you're actually riding it.
Hashtag crimes against aero bikes.
Okay. Okay. Now so at Peaks Challenge, the Grand mm-hmm. Fondo you're going to do next weekend, heaps of climbing, you're going to ride the S5.
Yes.
I got a bone to pick here.
Good.
But you're riding the S5 with two front chain rings, with the double up front. You've gone and swapped that out.
Sell out.
Fuck. You absolutely gave me the sales pitch for One Buy, to the point where after that episode, I was all for One Buy. It does everything you need. You just swap the cassettes. It's amazing. But then you went and got your chainring swapped and put the double on. Why haven't you stuck with what you sold me on originally?
Unfortunately, two things. The practicality of it, I couldn't actually get the gravel bike set up on this week. Mm-hmm. So that bike that I ripped it off to do that Frankenstein isn't in Sydney at the moment, won't be back. So there was just the practicality of it, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And I was frightened by it.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't used it enough.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a mechanical at this particular event in the past, link down below. I don't want that to happen. And I was legitimately frightened that it would happen.
I was, when you told me that you showed me a photo and the two by was back on, I was really disappointed because I thought, fuck, I'm a sucker. Here's Chris selling me on One By, and then he's got the luxury of just taking it off to the shop and he's got the double chain ring laying around and it just gets swapped back over. And here I am going, oh, well, actually he doesn't want to use the One By. It was all just chat. It was all chat.
Yeah, it was all just for the sake of show. No, I want to do it again. I'm going to full Frankenstein. I want to actually buy the setup and do it.
Okay.
But yeah, I was afraid. Yeah. So you're right. 48, what is it? 48, 36, 1033, S5, 30 mil wheels. Yeah. Interestingly, the weight. So actually have a guess. So if you remember the S5 with the deep 60-50 wheels with the One By setup was 7.4.
Yes, 0.4.
4?
0.4.
Have a guess. 2 By with the light, those wheels, the 30 mil wheels.
7.5?
Yeah, 7.67.
Ish.
Yeah.
Oh, front derailleur.
Front derailleur,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, that's a hell yeah. Big mother with that battery on it.
Really
yeah.
is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was option C.
So what did you say?
7.67.
With
pedals, with pedals, with everything.
Ready to go.
Ready to roll. Not with my camera on.
With only 30 mil wheels. Mm, yeah.
Those wheels. They're yeah. light wheels too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
28s front and rear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I looked at it and I was like, because, okay.
So what is this way?
This is the other test bike that was at 2800. This is the R5.
Okay.
This is the R5.
Yep.
Actually, can I give a little quick story about this?
Yeah.
Potentially. So I was intending to try and ride this, but I had a couple of rides on it and I was like, I got out of the saddle on the bike. I'm like, wow, this is super. Oh my God, climbing bike. Wow, I'm incredible. And then you'd sit down and put power out. And I'm like, oh, I can't get over the pedal. I just don't feel comfortable on this bike. I'm not sure. So I went and checked the seat height and all that sort of stuff. All fine, no problems. A couple more rides on it, couldn't get power out on the thing. I was trying to do that 2x40 effort on it, couldn't get like 10 minutes into holding 300 watts on it, right? And then so eventually I went to see Mick Cupid in Sydney and it all came back to the setback. So I'm so where my position is on the S5, because it's got a zero offset saddle,
yep.
I'm in a position to put power out. And because that is I think 25 mil offset. You just even with like the rails slammed all the way forward, couldn't even get it near it. And then you do that crazy thing. You can see the saddle there, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to ride that for 7 hours because you'll hit a pothole. You'll be sitting on the front nose of the saddle and the saddle will snap in half. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was the rationale for not riding that. I will intend to try and ride it a bit, but have a guess. So with the 30 mils on it,
mm-hmm.
as
so
pictured.
Basically the same setup, double same chain setup. Ring, same wheels. It's just a climbing bike. I'm really committed to getting this right because I feel like if I'm way off, it's embarrassing.
I'd like to point out, when we weighed this at the shop, I nailed it.
Did it have pedals on?
So no pedals. This is a no pedal weight.
Okay.
Everything else, so kind of crappy bottle cages. It had the computer mount on it. I actually got this to the gram. 6.91 kilos.
Huh. Okay, so you're over 7, ready to ride with pedals.
Correct.
For an R5 in a medium sort of size frame.
Yep.
Okay, I mean, you know, it doesn't have carbon spokes, carbon hubs. It's the wheels you could cut some weight out of, but that's, you know, okay, that's quite surprising. That's not that light, really.
But it's interesting. Like, if you think about that then in comparison to the TCR, you know, that's probably...
TCR well, I mean, got yeah. released in a size large, ready to ride was... 6.68.
Yeah.
That's a smaller size. The TCR ready to ride with those new wheels is probably about 500 grams lighter.
You'd have to think the R5 is due an upgrade this year.
I like the look of it actually. I do think it looks nice. If you weren't really racing and you just wanted like a nice sort of looking bike and you were just rolling out to Lapa, put up at the cafe, I think it looks, I don't know why. I like this. The seat stays look kind of nice. That junction with the seat post is cool. I think it's a nice.
I've seen some, actually one of the prettiest bikes that I've seen, Cervelo bikes that I've seen built up is they've been doing the Solo Us built up one by, but with, so they've been using the Aspero, which is the gravel bike, using it a narrow 36 bar, which flares out to like a 40 on the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a pretty cool looking, like, I don't know, midway race bike.
Yeah. Okay. Type thing. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, that's quite surprising. So you guessed that, right? Why didn't you guess lighter? You thought,
I had a feel.
Okay.
Like there was a little bit of experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not the first bike I picked up at the time. But like, to me, even though it was, let's say that bike would have had to be, for me to even consider it. In fact, I don't even think I would have ever considered it, maybe.
Not if the position was wrong. You're just too far over the bottom bracket. Yeah. You haven't ridden like that
let's,
probably
let's assume
for
I got a zero offset
years.
Saddle on it and I'd had 3 weeks on it. I still don't know if I'd go back to just a full climbing bike. 4,500 meters. But there's not a lot that's above 10%. Do you know? Like there's still a lot of just 5% climbing.
Mm-hmm.
He says that now. Yeah.
Are we in the cycling meter if we don't talk about Visma Lisa Bike's new time trial helmets? We gotta say something about it. We can't be.
I like it. I got no problem.
What?
I got no problem with this. It's a time trial.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if we're gonna allow if time trials are a thing, which they are, I don't care. It might as well be America's Cup boats with foils that are sticking out of the water that don't look anything like my uncle's little 20-footer. Like, what? Mm-hmm. I've got no problem with this.
Don't you have a safety concern?
Nah, play on. What? It's a pros. Who cares? I'm not riding in that crap. If their time trials are 60 k's an hour at the tour, then good on them, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, I agree. Let them tinker and fuck around with everything. It's just the whole point of wearing the helmet in the first place is to make your head safer. And they've got this bulbous thing sticking out the front. Like the whole point of it is you hit your head, it deflects the force away and doesn't twist your neck and snap your vertebrae. This thing, you hit that, how much force is twisting your neck to the side? How is that even, that's more dangerous. It's one of the reasons why they don't let you firstly run a GoPro on your head. It's one of the other reasons why most helmets are matte, smooth finish, not some gritty, you know, sticky surface, because you want to slide when you crash, not have some bulbous freaking rhino thing twisting your head to the side. How is that getting through? It's just so stupid.
There's no way that's getting an Oz safety sticker. No way in hell.
No.
Yeah.
For those out of aware, Australian safety standards for helmets is separate. So that's why in Australia there's less helmets because you have to pay a lot of money to get the certification and it's stricter than the European standards and some of the others. So I don't think that's getting.
What about the reaction on social media for this? I mean, I saw two different things, like reels or stories of just cyclists, just everyday normal. I'm not talking about influencers or anything like that, who are almost emotional with how bad this was for cycling. They were like, I can't believe what my sport's turned into type chat. I'm like, am I missing something here? I don't care. I think it's funny. Good on them. Yeah.
I mean, it was so visually shocking that you kind of had to share it to your story because the thing was just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sort of in your camp.
I think it's fast though. I do think it's going to be fast.
Yeah. Especially who's one of their bigger, you know, got a big set of shoulders he's struggling to tuck in. Imagine Ganna with that thing and just like spreading across his shoulders. Woo!
I think we'll see all the brands going. I mean, that whole thing of, isn't that the whole thing about that's why they tuck, you got to tuck the head to hide the head, but then you can create this enormous like stormtrooper helmet and it just, makes sense.
Yeah. Especially now because the speeds in the time trials are going faster and faster. It's like they're designing a helmet for 45K an hour versus what they're doing now, which is like 65. It's different, isn't it? Yeah, it's cool.
Have you watched any of Drive to Survive's new season?
No.
Do you know what Drive to Survive is?
Yeah,
right?
I know. I don't know what Drive to Survive
is. I'm not sure what's going on in Casa de Coil these days.
No, Nicole watches it, so sometimes I'm in the background.
I just want to say, like, because you know how we talk when the Netflix one for Cycling Unchained came out? You know, the first thing you do is you compare it to Drive to Survive because that's the gold standard of them, right? Mm-hmm. We've got to stop comparing them. You just can't compare drives. It's like every scene, even just like two people talking scene is shot on some, like on a private jet or, you know, on some enormous cruiser in the Mediterranean and they're just having prosciutto and champagne talking about, you know, it's in another stratosphere and that's why it's so entertaining because it's just this peeking into this other stratosphere.
Yeah.
Is it
like half sport, half kind of Kardashians or
absolutely
or Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever it is and you're just kind of looking going, these people are on another planet.
It's three quarters that and one quarter sport. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you've got they don't make any bones about it. Like the best part of the whole thing is the two teammates, quote unquote, on the team, your teammate is your biggest rival. And that's just out. So that storyline's there for everyone. It's brilliant. And so you've just got this natural competitiveness between the two people. Whereas, you know, in cycling, we walk on eggshells about even saying something about a rival. Whereas these two guys are like, I want to beat Jesse because he's my teammate. I hate him. Like, it's awesome. Sick. Yeah. Anyway.
Let's go back to where I live in cycling realm. One of the first sort of Van Rysel RCR, so the new bike that Decathlon are riding, their new pro-level race bike, Cade Media did a after 1,000-kilometer review video, kind of overview thing over it. I thought there were some talking points from that. Now, the video was so after 1,000 kilometers. So I thought it was going to be more of a review. Turns out it was actually more of an overview. So it really was, even though he's ridden it for 1,000 kilometers, there wasn't much comparison or really subjective reviewing of anything about it. It was more of essentially just a long spec sheet read and talking about what parts come on the bike and things like that. So, I mean, I thought the video was, from a review point of view, was next to worthless. But from what Van Rysel as a bike brand need to bolster what they're already getting in the Pro Tour, I think the video that Kay did was perfect. And it's what a lot of the other brands don't have. So Decathlon already have the World Tour team already getting wins on it. So for anyone that buys a bike for performance reasons, tick. You've got Ben O'Connor sprinting away, winning solo in the UAE Tour. Tour Magazine's testing of it as well backs that up. For the even the more analytical, you've got Tour Magazine stats if you want to look at the bottom bracket, Newton meters and things like that. That already exists, right? So what do they need in the media or elsewhere? I don't think they need more people at a high-performing level riding it and telling people it rides fast. They've already got that. So this video from Cade, which was just getting the bike out and getting more people aware of it in a real general audience, in a pretty just a very easy to watch 15-minute video where he basically did no reviewing but just read out the specs. And it was as a sponsored video from Decathlon that they paid for it. I think well played, because there's bikes at a similar level, even something like a Cube, for example, where they've got a World Tour team on it now. They've got Wanty on it. But where do you ever really see the Cube? Just someone talking about the Cube Lightning.
It's one of those, I totally agree with you, but it would have only worked with the Van Rysel. You know, yes, it was a spec read, but it was deeper than that, because he actually explained what the specs were. So down to the point of, okay, here's what gears are on it. Here's what that means. So this is a 36 tooth inner chain ring. So that means there's 36 teeth here. I mean, that's kind of the level of explaining what the actual specifications were we went to. That kind of video for the giant TCR would have been a laughing stock because the people watching the giant TCR know all that stuff.
Yep.
Whereas you're trying to get in this other crowd and explain to them what a pro bike is, well, this is done and it's perfect.
Mm. Yeah, I just thought
the title's my only issue with it.
So what,
like the title, yeah, if it, like the, that's yeah. not what it, it's not. A, that's not a 100. That's not a 1,000K ride review.
No,
that's a Van Rysel specs.
Mm.
Yeah. All you need to know about the Decathlon Van Rysel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. I just wanted to give that a shout. I thought, you know, for what Van Rysel are doing this year, I mean, they're really kind of ticking all the boxes. It's pretty cool.
All right, Jesse, thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see everyone else next week.
See you then.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.